All right, so good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. So when I was thinking about the sermon this morning, and this is not something I do often, for sure, without the aid of songs in my sermon, so I will not have the aid of songs in my sermon this time, but when I was thinking about things to speak about, I always try to relate things that's going on in my life, so that's what we're going to do this morning. If you have an outline that was on the back table, I heard a few comments, people looking at it, it's like, was this a sermon outline? Yes, it is, which that is really, really popping. I don't know why that's doing that. All right, we'll try that. So, yes, that is a sermon outline and is speaking to what's kind of going on in my life. So I've heard a few comments over the past month, so I'm going to lay to rest what's going on right now. So what I've heard sometimes is either to me or to someone else has come around, hey, is he sick? Is he okay? Why, yes, I am okay. I am not sick. Yes, I have lost quite a bit of weight. So those that have been here know that over the last 9 months or so, I have lost quite a bit of weight. So this is a good thing, and I'm not sick. So I just went to the doctor, in fact, and he gave me a clean bill of health. And medicines are going away, so this is a good thing. But I just wanted to throw that out there. In fact, today, Jesse and I and a few others got the memo about the purple today. But I also said that this is there was some purpose to me wearing this shirt. This was one of my favorite shirts to wear over the years. You know, you ever have that kind of article of clothing that's one of your favorites that you just like to wear? This was one of those shirts for me. There was an event about a year ago that I wanted to wear this shirt. I did wear this shirt. This shirt didn't fit. It wasn't a good look, really. You know, there's a lot of strain going on here, you know, and not a lot of movement either. So that was difficult. But so I wore this today to see, hey, not bad. It's almost too big. So this is a good thing. I think John's going through some of the same thing right now, too. So way to go, John, on that. But what's interesting is when some people have asked about, you know, if I'm sick or not, and I say, no, you know, it's just been a lot of, you know, not necessarily going to the level that some do with diet, but I am watching what I eat and doing a lot of running. And when people hear that, they say, well, you really are sick if you're running, because that's really not my cup of tea. But it is for me. So there's been a lot of running and a lot of motivation for me. I ran when I was in high school many, 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 many years ago. So this is something that's really helping me out, doing this running. So I've tried to relate some of the things that I have learned over the last 9-10 months. And just as I've been running, I've just been thinking about some of these things. And when I was thinking about the lesson today, I was thinking, you know what? A lot of these things we can really apply to our lives as Christians. And I think that's really important that a lot of times we can relate things that maybe we're doing in other aspects of our life. You know what? These are things that I'm trying to do when I try to live a Christian life. So so the lesson title, as you see, Lessons from a 5K. As we go through this, you'll see, you know, I'll relate some things to what I've learned as far as training for 5Ks or running 5Ks. But each one of those, I'm then going to tie in to points that I think are very beneficial to us as we try to live our Christian life. If you have one of the outlines, I have a little sentence or two there at the top. You know, it says, when we are working toward a goal in our lives, whatever it may be, these are things that we need to have in our lives to reach that goal. And again, as we go through these, there's a lot more that I could have put down, but just the handful that I had, I think, really help us out. Most importantly, for our spiritual lives, all of these have an even more important role for all of us. So again, yeah, these are things that I've used to help me when I run, to motivate myself. But again, take each one of these. You know, if you got the outline, write those down. We're going to have scriptures for each one of these points. And I think, you know, if you try to incorporate all these things in our lives and remember, you know, these things that can help us make us stronger Christians, as Jim says in his prayers often.
So we're going to go ahead and go to the first point. Some of the lessons that we're going to learn. Again, if you got the outline, you can jot those down in the blanks. I went ahead and did that because when Forrest isn't here, it just seems like we missed those outlines. So I wanted to go ahead and give you at least a little bit there to write down, and then you can take it home if you'd like. So the first one is going to be your resolve. Now, a lot of times we hear that word, you know, toward the beginning of the year. Hey, we make our New Year's resolutions. But really, every day of our lives, we're often resolving to do something. So when I first started running, I had to have a certain amount of resolve, as you can imagine, even if it's just getting started. Whatever you're doing, whether it's running or dieting or anything, a lot of times you really need to have that resolve just to get up. You know, I looked up a lot of training exercises for 5Ks, and a lot of them are called couch to 5K. Well, you need that resolve, right, to get up off the couch to be able to start this going. So just the resolve of getting started and then having the motivation to keep going. And I've told this story to a few people, and I'm going to go ahead and spread this out a lot, that, you know, Joseph, when he was in eighth grade, he ran cross country. Now, again, when I was in high school a long time ago, I also ran, and I really enjoyed it. So when he ran in eighth grade, man, that's pretty cool. And I was in better shape than I was last year, but yeah, I was able to run a little bit, and that was great. And then when Wesley ran cross country last year for the middle school, I wasn't in quite near the shape that I was when Joe was running it. In fact, at the end of the cross-country season, they have something called a family meet, which all that is, you know, all the kids are there, and anybody from the family can come out and run, and all they do is run a mile. So it's just running around the park for a mile, right? That didn't sound too bad. I couldn't do that last fall. I knew I couldn't. I had tried to run a little bit, and it wasn't going to happen, and that really bothered me. It just, from my past and my history and the shape I was in, that really bothered me. So my motivation were both my boys, what they were doing, seeing then what I couldn't do. And you always have to have that kind of motivation sometimes. You know, it's a kick in the rear to be able to get up and do something, because sometimes you just let things go and you need that motivation. So that helped me to overcome the attitude of the I can't or I quit, because sometimes we run into those things, right, that we just say, you know what, I can't do that. And then that attitude can then filter into a lot of things in our lives. Now, when we think about our Christian life, I have a few verses here to share with you. The first one is Colossians 3, 1 through 15. And when I was looking for verses to give an example for this point, I really like this one because this is great words to the church at Corinth, or the Colossians here, the resolve to live like Christians. And this is a little lengthy reading, but I think all of this is very important. So beginning in verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and having put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Just looking at these scriptures, when we have the resolve in our life to live a Christian life, there's always these little key words that I put, and I've got highlighted on my sheet here. You think of the words that we heard: seek, set your mind, put to death these other things, put them all away, put off the old self, put on the new self, put it on, let it rule in your hearts. To me, those are words that sound like resolve to me. Does that sound like resolve to you? That, you know what? Yeah, I've got problems with some of these things. There's a pretty good list here that we read. But you know what? We need to resolve to put away those things. Get started doing that. Be motivated to do those things. Put away all these things. And when it comes to the attitude of, you know what? A lot of those things, it's just hard for me to get over these things. It's tough. Well, yeah, it is tough. And sometimes you might have an attitude that, I'm not sure I can do that. I don't know. Maybe I can't. Well, you know what? You can. Philippians 4:13. Now, we read it a lot, and we can apply it in a lot of ways. But you know what? It rings so true. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Overcome that attitude of I can't or I won't, and know that you can. And that's why it's so important to have God on your side. Be resolved to live as a Christian. Put off those things and put on Christ, and know that you can do that. The next thing I want to bring up, you know, when I was training for running, you know, one thing, obviously, when you think about that, there's a certain amount of strength and endurance that you're building up as you're training. You know, and there's different things that go along with that. You know, you need to have a plan. You know, definitely a running plan. When I started running, I just didn't start running 3 miles at a time. Obviously, I couldn't run 1 mile for sure. It was more of a walking thing. Then a little bit of run, a whole lot of walking. And then it just kind of started balancing the other way. A little bit of walking, more running. And now it's even more running. But it's a plan to help build yourself up, to build strength and endurance. You can't just go full steam ahead on something like running. You know, you even need to have kind of a meal plan sometimes to be able to, you know, give yourself and your body the energy it needs to be able to do that running. Is it hard? Absolutely it's hard. Is it worth it? Absolutely it is. We'll talk a little bit about that later. But when we think about our Christian life, do we need to build up strength and endurance in our Christian life as well? Sure we do. Yeah, that's definitely something we need to do. Our next verse here is Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Why do we need to build strength and endurance? Because we got a lot of weight on us, don't we? This verse brings out the point about let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Does it feel like sometimes sin does that to you? It's clinging so close to you. It's hanging on for dear life, and it's weighing you down. I know there's this something sometimes I got to deal with that just really weighs me down. And it really just kind of saps the energy out of you, doesn't it? But when we build up strength and endurance in our Christian life, that can help us to overcome that sin and the weight that it brings down on us. And I think that's something that's important to remember. In Romans 5, 3 through 4, we read that not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. You know, living a Christian life is not always an easy path, but it's worth it. I mean, look at all the things just in this verse that, you know what, the sufferings that sometimes we have to face and the strength that we need to have, you know, these sufferings produce things. The suffering produces endurance. And when we have that endurance helps produce character. Then that character produces hope. All these things build on each other. You know, when I was running, and I continued to run and build up, all these things build on each other and help me build strength. In our Christian life, it's the same thing. We build in our knowledge and our strength as a Christian. We can help overcome the weight that sin helps, that really helps drag us down. And I think that's something that's, again, we help build strength and endurance by knowing that the sufferings that we have to go through, because all of us have to go through those sufferings help produce that endurance and the strength that we need to cope with everything that we have to deal with in our lives. So the next point I want to talk about, when I think about my running, you know, there's certain aspects of training for a 5K, and then there's the actual day of the race. So these next two kind of go along with that part. And for me, I don't know about anybody else that's ever run in races or anything, but there's a certain amount of courage that I need for sure when I go out and do some kind of competition. I tend to get nervous, whether it's just nervous energy. Even coming up here, I got a lot of nervous energy. But there's a certain amount of courage that you need to have in you. Why do you need that courage? Sometimes it's to overcome fear, overcome nerves. Sometimes it's just to overcome the mental hurdles that you have in your mind. Because a lot of times, things that aren't in the way, you may put in the way just in your mind. And you have those mental hurdles. Well, in our Christian life, a lot of times we deal with those same things. We're going to turn to Deuteronomy 31. And, you know, a lot of times we don't do a lot of reading or study from, you know, some of these books here. But I love how Deuteronomy ends and then picks up into Joshua. Because you have Moses here at the end of his life, at the end of the trail, and they're starting to pass things over to Joshua. And there's a lot going on there, and there's a lot of encouragement being given, you know, to help encourage all the people as they're beginning to now start their journey into the promised land. So Deuteronomy 31, 1 through 8. And again, this is Moses speaking to all the people of Israel. Is he's kind of giving them, I've got on my notes here, a pep talk. You know, hey, here's what's going to be going on. Don't worry, don't be afraid. So Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you so that you shall dispossess them. And Joshua will go over at your head, as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. You know what? Talk about a pep talk there. I think that is so great. I love reading that. Anytime we sing the song, Be Strong and Courageous, you know, I'm thinking about these verses because that's exactly where that song's coming from. Right here, you know, Moses knows his time is done. He's been leading the people all this time. You can imagine the people being a little apprehensive maybe, in need of some encouragement because, hey, Moses is not going with us. Wait a minute. What'd you just say? You're not leading us into this new and strange land? I thought you were. No, I'm not. Joshua is going to be head over you. But know this, God is going before you. Talk about the courage that you need to take the next step, know that God is with you and he goes before you. That's the courage. That's where I'm getting my courage, and knowing that God's ahead of me. A little later on in that chapter, in Deuteronomy 31:23, God is here speaking to Joshua. And he says, "The Lord commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, 'Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them. I will be with you.'" Do you think Joshua might have been a little nervous? I don't know. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But you know what? If I were in Joshua's spot, I would love to hear the Lord tell me, "I will be with you. I'm going before you into this land. You're not on your own. You don't have to lead all this people by yourself. You do what I've commanded you. Be strong and courageous. I'm going to go with you." Talking about great example of courage. So as Deuteronomy ends and Moses passes away, we go into the first chapter of Joshua. In Joshua 1, 6 through 9, again, Moses has been around all this time, and now he's passed away. It's real now to Joshua. Right here again, Joshua, or God's going to speak to Joshua, starting in verse 6. What's he say? "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord God is with you wherever you go." Again, such a great example of why we need courage and where that courage can come from. So the next thing I want to bring up as far as my running race day goes is focus. Now, anytime I think you, if you've ever competed in anything or whatever it may be, you know, you need, I always call it laser beam focus. Because if you're not focused on what you're doing, there's a good chance that things aren't going to go the way that you have planned or that you have worked toward. You know, there was a phrase that Brother Jerry has often said in the past as far as you got to keep on keeping on. And when I think of the focus that I have while I'm running, I have goals in mind, and that's what I've been trying to tell the boys that. I've been trying to tell anybody else that I've talked to about it. I've set goals, and I keep my focus on those goals because it gives you something to work toward, and I think that's really important. And then you can have that attitude of, you know what, even though things are going to get hard, I might have some fear I have to overcome, some mental hurdles, I'm going to keep on keeping on. Because I've got to focus on my goals. I'm not going to stop walking that path. I'm going to keep going toward it. Now, in our Christian life, again, it's the same thing. We need to have focus on what our goals are as far as being a Christian. In Philippians 3, 13 through 15, what Brother Max read for us, it says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I'm straining forward to what lies ahead." Or in some version it says, "I'm reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you." I press on toward the goal. That's what I'm doing every day that I'm trying to do this running. I'm pressing on toward my goals. As a Christian, we need to press on in our life toward our goals. Do we have any examples of that in the Scripture? Yeah, we sure do have a lot. But there's one that's really a great example. In Hebrews 12 and verse 2, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus had to suffer a great many things while he was here, but I have no doubt that he had his focus squarely on what his goals were. And he endured so much, even to the point of enduring the cross. But his focus was true. He knew what he was going to have to do, and his focus was on that. So truly, that is such a great example that we have in these two scriptures about pressing on toward our goal and enduring the things that come up in our lives, whatever it may be, so that we can keep working toward that goal and keep on keeping on. So this next point I want to bring up is a little bit more about after the race has been run for me as far as a 5K race. So there is a sense of accomplishment. That's definitely something that's very important, I think, in our lives. Everybody wants to have that sense of accomplishment. And a lot of times what goes along with that, at least in a race, is some kind of reward. Now, whether you finish first, second, third, last, whatever it might be, to me, there is always a reward for that race. I think for me, it's always a physical reward and a mental reward. You know, knowing that, hey, especially when after I ran my very first one, there's a lot of nerves there. I'd never done it before. I'd practiced it. But once I got into the race and I ran it, you know, there was a physical, I'm exhausted. I'm about to fall down. I can't hardly breathe. But you know what? There was a physical reward to that. And knowing what I'm helping my body to do to be able to run these races. And then also the mental accomplishment, getting over that hurdle of, you know what, I'm not sure I can do this. But you know what, I just did it. And I can do it. And you know what, I can do it again. And I can do it again. So whether it's, you know, your goal is to be first or whatever, I don't know if I buy into that necessarily with these races. But whenever you cross that finish line, you've won. You are a winner because you have accomplished what you have set out to do. You have reached that goal. In our Christian lives, are we striving to win? Absolutely, we are striving to win. 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. We all are running this race. We are all competing. We are trying to live a Christian life. We are taking every step that we can so that we can get to heaven. We are striving to win, to reach that goal, live to reach to heaven. Does that make sense? That's what we're trying to do in our life, right? Because I think that's so important. What's our accomplishment at the end of our Christian life? We want to be in heaven. And we're going to run that race, do everything that we can to reach that reward. And I think that's so important that we keep that in mind. Strive to win to reach that goal. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. You know, God's going to reward those who are faithful, but he's not going to reward just everybody. When it comes to our Christian race, our Christian life, there's really not a participation medal. There's not necessarily a minimal effort that we can put in. When we run our race, we are striving to win, not just do the minimum that we can to get by. Well, you know what? I'm going to do the bare minimum that I think I can get away with so I can get to heaven. That's not the attitude we need to have as a Christian. My attitude needs to be, I'm going to do everything that I can to live my life the way God wants me to live it so that I can get to heaven. Hebrews 11:6 again says, he rewards those who seek him. If you're going to seek God, then you're going to do everything that he says you need to do to be faithful to him. Right? Yes. So with our sense of accomplishment in our life, we need to keep that in mind. To reach our reward, we need to strive to win, strive to live as a Christian, and make sure we are diligently seeking him who rewards. Next point here I have after the race is the drive that we have. We just had that sense of accomplishment. I just got done running that race. What does that lead us to? Well, I know what it led me to. It led me to have the drive to continue to do that, to continue to improve. That first race, I had a certain time. Hey, that's great. I've got this time that I finished that in. So I tend to like to compete, so now I'm competing with myself. I had this time that I finished, and John's always asking me, hey, did you set a personal record on the next run? What do you have a new PR? You have a new PR? Why, yes, I do have a new PR. So each race that I've run, I've tried to set, I have a new standard here, and I'm trying to beat that now and get that time a little bit lower and a little bit lower. What's that sound like? That sounds like I've got drive to do that, right? So I had a goal to run 5 5Ks. I was using 5, so why not run 5 of them, right? So I run 5 5Ks. My goal was, my drive was to run one, each one, a little bit faster, a little bit faster. There was a couple of them that were only 2 seconds apart, but I ran it faster, so that counts, even though it was only 2 seconds. But each one got a little bit faster. But regardless of that, when we think about our Christian lives, there's so much that we could read and talk about when we talk about our drive to live as a Christian and to continue to improve. A few verses I have for you, first in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. We talk about having drive. Wow, here's some good points right here. The drive to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding. Those three things. Hey, there's a whole sermon right there, 3 points. Got a big sermon. And what's he tell you at the end of that verse? You know what? Have the drive to do these things and know that your labor is not in vain. These are things that you add to your Christian life. It's going to help you. It's going to move you forward in your drive to be a better Christian. In Colossians 1:10, it says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So here's a few things right here as we continue to drive toward being a better Christian and growing, being always abounding. We need to bear fruit for every good work, and we need to increase in our knowledge of God. Why do we come here every Sunday and be here for Bible class? And hopefully then study outside of here, keeping our Bibles with us, always thinking about God, thinking about His Word, so that we can increase in the knowledge of God. Talk about something that you need to have a drive to do. That's definitely something that should be toward the top of your list, if not at the top. Increase in your knowledge of God. Because when it comes down to it, when we're a Christian and we're trying to get to heaven, we need to know how to get there. And where we're going to find that out? God gives us that knowledge, and we have it in His Word. And we need to increase in our knowledge of His Word every day of our life. In 2 Peter 3:18, so as we increase in our knowledge of God, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Increase in your knowledge and grow in that grace and knowledge. As we continue to know more about what God says in His Word, that helps us to grow. That helps us to add to that drive that we have to be a better Christian and that drive to get to heaven. Last one I have for you, and I almost didn't think of this one, but it was actually after the last race that it kind of stood out to me, is an example. In the last race I ran, it was a run for the heroes kind of thing. So for wounded warriors, wounded veterans. And it was very well put together, very well organized, where they had a lot of veterans there, some that have been wounded. And some of those people were in wheelchairs. They did the 5K, whether it was they were wheeling the wheelchair or somebody was pushing them that whole course, or some that were missing legs but had some kind of prosthetic and were running that race. And it was really neat. You know, they might not have done that race real fast, but they completed that race. And as they were coming toward the finish line, everybody that had already completed that race was there at the finish line, clapping them on and encouraging them as they were crossing that finish line. And I think that really hit me really strong, that you know what? I can be a really great example to everybody else that's running out here, that's a part of this race here today. And it made me think of the first race that I ran. It was something called an out-and-back race, where you just ran out about a mile and a half, and then you ran back. So you're coming and going. You're meeting people coming and going. So I wasn't going real fast, but I remember the people that were in the lead as they were coming back around. You know, people were clapping for them, and they were giving thumbs up to the people that were coming back the other way that maybe were pretty tired and were struggling. You know what? You can do this. So there was a lot of encouragement going on there, and I thought that was really neat as far as being an example, being an encouragement to the other runners that are there. Can we do that as a Christian, be an example and be an encouragement to one another? Absolutely. I think that's why it's so important that we meet here as often as we can. You know, when we're together, we can help strengthen and encourage one another and be good examples for each other. And I have a few verses to give us a few examples about some encouragement that we read about in the Scriptures. First is in 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 through 10. I love how Paul writes this because it really paints a really nice picture of the example that these Christians are setting. He says, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." I mean, just think about some of the things that he says about these Christians in this scripture. Thanks to God always for you, for your work of faith, your labor of love, steadfastness of hope. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has gone forth everywhere. What a great picture that is painted here of an encouragement that people have had on others. I just, when I was reading that, I read it probably 5 or 6 times thinking, this is amazing. What a great thing to put in a letter to write to somebody, to this group of people. Another example we read about is 1 Timothy 4:12. "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." Paul speaking here to Timothy. This verse I've thought of before, and you can at times just, okay, hide the word youth there. Let no one despise you for your whatever it is. Because sometimes we might get hung up and think, well, I'm not sure I can be that example or encourager because I'm too young, I'm too old, I might have some other issues that might hinder me from doing this. Uh-oh, now this sounds like some of those mental roadblocks that we talked about earlier in the lesson. You know what? Let no one despise you for your youth or whatever it is. Don't despise yourself because you think I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too whatever. Know that you can be a good example and a good encourager for the people that you're around. You can set to the believers or anybody else around you, set the example in speech and conduct and love, faith and purity. be that example. When it comes to being a Christian and living a Christian life, that's a big part of it. Be an example to the people that we're around, being that light. As we're going to read about in the next verse, Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let your light shine. Be an example. This is Jesus speaking here. You need to be the light. Don't hide your light. Be that example. Be that encouragement to one another. And finally, we have, again, the ultimate example that we can have as far as somebody being an example of an encouragement or just being our example in general. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Christ went through anything and everything that could be thrown at him. And you know what? He is truly our example of overcoming those things, walking the path, being a light. And again, I think it's so important. We read about all these examples that we have. Then in turn, we can be an example to everyone that we're around. Be an example, be an encourager. So that's my all the points that I have. Here's all of them. The new guy running up here, yes, that is me, doing a little jogging there with the thumbs up. Because you know what? As we strive to be better Christians every day of our life, because that should be what we're striving to do, there's always room for improvement. And I think with all these, the resolve that we have in our life, the strength and endurance that we build up, the courage that comes through that as we build up that strength and encouragement, the focus that we have on our goals, the accomplishment that we have as we reach those goals, the drive that we have to continue to improve, and the example that we can set toward others. There's so much more that could be said with these things, but you know what? Keep these in mind as you strive to, whether it's run a 5K or just in general running the race that we have set before us, our Christian lives, as we strive to reach heaven, our goal. Just realize that you have to start. There's always a place you have to start. And that start needs to be today. You know, if you've never started your journey as a Christian, now's the time to start that journey. Now's the time that you can be baptized into Christ. Start that race, start that journey. But maybe you have started that journey, and it's kind of stalled out. Because I know that can happen, especially in races and in running and whatever it is in your life. Sometimes you can get kind of stalled out, and time lapses, and then it's kind of hard to get back going again. But you know what? You can. You can get going again. Let today be day one of the rest of your life. Today can be day one that either you're going to start new and start walking your Christian life, or you're going to get back in the race and take that next step. Don't let time pass by anymore. Make the resolution that today is day one. We can all have that victory through Jesus Christ if we obey him and do his commandments. So whatever your needs are, let us know. Please come forward. Let's stand and sing.